Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm not doing bad. Yourself?
I am being good. I'm being good, I think.
I aspire to be like you, sir.
Well,
you are either too good to be true or you are too good to be good.
Anyway, something like that.
Mr. Johnson, the two issues you want to raise, you both were touched on previously.
Okay.
Now, the first one has to do with this revival of Bridgetown. Quite a few people have undertaken this task to bring back Bridgetown alive and do this village and so on. But there's one important factor that they always leave out.
Which is?
Mr. Johnson, were you in Barbados when the United States Navy used to take their shore leave here in Barbados?
Yes, were you here
at that time?
Sir, not only was I here, I actually had the opportunity to go and play darts on one of their boats. It is something I always remember. At the end of this conversation, I'll tell you why. Go ahead, sir.
I hope you didn't become a sailor while we're here.
I was about to tell you what I found out when I went on the boat was that the lower ranks came to shore to have certain female companionship while the ranking officers had theirs delivered on board. I'll leave that there.
Fair enough. I'm sure you must have been an officer in that case.
No, sir. I was playing darts against the chief petty officer. And he was giving me tankards of beer to try to get me drunk. But anyhow.
Yeah. Let's look at some facts here. I like to give you facts because that's where you get information. And I don't know how these people do the research. But, Mr. Johnson, those ships used to come here about every 3 months on what they call furlough or shore leave. There were three or four battleships or whatever they called destroyers used to come here in groups of three or four. They would have about 5,000 or 6,000 people on board. Those fellows would come in here on Friday because we used to have to, they would come out Friday midday. And then 6 o'clock Friday evening, they'd start coming ashore. And those guys would come ashore on these amphibious things. And some of them will stay ashore until Sunday midnight. Now, if you check carefully, that's about 2 hours. Mr. Johnson, if you remember well, there used to be any restaurant in Bridgetown used to populate, any restaurant bar, all along Bay Street, Nelson Street, Wellington Street.
Yes,
all
sir.
Bay Street used to be lighted up, an active nightclub, bars, restaurants, ladies' places and so on, where ladies provided, and the taxi drivers would be up and down. And used to be activity all up Hastings, all the way up Oyston, sometimes even in Silverstone, because the fellas would go with the taxi men and take them. And you would know, Mr. Ed, that on Monday morning, taxi men could not find a Barbados dollar, not if you paid them. Too much US in their pockets. That was an injection of U.S. money that we never paid attention to. And because of the amount it was that came in at one time, those businesses were able to flourish even when times were not as fruitful. And that is a factor that we did not pay attention to. And the ships don't come here anymore. They don't come like every 3 months anymore, you understand? There was some discontent, the shipwright agreement and so on.
Hold on. You see, and that's where I always tell people, do not ascribe reasons until you know the reasons. There are several reasons why certain ports and sending people on furlough. I actually tried to check. You see, this whole September 11th, 9/11, and security, there are all sorts of reasons, and sometimes even changes of administration. I want to tell you, you follow this program as long as I have been listening to it. You know how many times I've said that we only need two aircraft carriers a year? Two. And I purposely said, sir, and I've said this to the members of the Board of Tourism at one point when I had an opportunity to talk to that board. I said to them, one aircraft carrier. Talk to the United States Embassy. One aircraft carrier in Barbados. Okay? You send a letter to the United States and you tell them, meet your boyfriend, son, grandson, husband, whomever, that you have not seen in X number of years in Barbados for let's say, whatever weekend, George Washington weekend, whoever weekend, tie yellow ribbons around every lamppost, every brick between the port and Kensington. You know, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, tie it around the lamppost so that they lead from the docks to Kensington, and have a baseball match, United States citizens in Barbados versus the fellas on the ship. So the amount of coverage that that would get in the United States over every network, you won't have to spend advertising. You can't match that kind of advertising. And you only take one. But just organizing it. Just work on organizing it. But nobody is bothered with it because I suppose it's too easy to do. Or too difficult to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably got my information from a different source, but I don't want to go into that. That's the burden of my contention. The thing is that they're not coming
here anymore.
The regular,
agreed,
that they used to. And they used to really, not only light up Bridgetown, but they left a lot of U.S. currency. Like, I don't know if you remember also when you had the North Point.
The base up there. Yeah.
That's right. Mm. They used to dump a lot of money in St. Peter, and North, so on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those things have moved on, but I don't think we've taken any notice. I mean,
so we have.
Them.
We have.
Mr. Johnson, the this thing about health care, I heard a caller engage you earlier on about some of these things that we are bringing to the country. When I came back here from Ontario, I brought back with me a dossier with some information I got from the World Health Organization. I wrote them and got it because they had seen this newspaper and they wanted to see it. I brought it back here and I gave copies to the Ministry of Health, copies to the Ministry of Agriculture. To make a long story short, that dossier had on it the listing of toxic chemicals that were being used in agriculture, which can endanger the life of not only birds and animals, but human beings too. And I know we have suffered tremendously, but we don't want to admit it, because everybody blaming sugar and soft drink. People been drinking it for 100 years, but all of a sudden sugar and soft drink killing people. And only for the last 25 years, we've been using sugar and soft drink for 300 years. The fact is that there are some items on that list, sir, that we continue to import into Barbados, and it's getting into the food chain, it's getting into the air, the water, and it is making people sick. We blame it on non-communicable disease. Isn't it a disease? Is that if these toxic substances get into your system, they can damage your liver, your kidneys, your brain, whatever it can damage. And then you break down, the disease then takes control of your body. It's not that you had diabetes or you're diabetic, but your liver has been damaged and it can't handle sugar the way it used to. The other thing I want to talk about, sir, finally, this thing of this proliferation of insects that I hear people quarreling about.
You mean chinks? Bed bugs?
Chinks and lice and fleas and all that kind of thing. Anytime you see we have, and I know people going to lick me for this here, anytime you see we have a lot of people walking about but heads of thick hair, that they are targets for those things which exist in the cats and the dogs. And you don't know if you ever see a flea moving yet, but it doesn't work like a fly. When a flea moves, it moves like a rocket. Boom. And they jump, I can't remember how many feet they jump at one time. All I'm saying is this. Once you have an outbreak of insects like that, people who have thick hair that they can't comb every 3 inches or so, they're going to find that they'll be targets for those insects. And they'll be surprised sometimes. You're digging your head. I saw a fellow digging his head. You're dealt with the airport. And I thought, well, you're going to scalp himself. Because you keep digging all you can, digging. I said, well, but something got to be wrong here. And his hair was long. He just had a normal headache, but I believe that he's been attacked by these bugs. I saw them at work in Ontario. The first time I ever saw a crab lice in my life, I saw in Ontario, not in Barbados.
I hope you didn't bring back a specimen.
No, they had an outbreak in my apartment building because we had a community laundry, and it was an outbreak. And I had to check the fungum in the fur, you know, in the fur in your dryer?
In the dryer, yeah.
The fungum in there.
Yeah.
So anybody lit, that's right, and anybody who used that was liable to get infected, the clothes or the blankets and the towels and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have the Ministry of Health and another unit that brought in from the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us went and could volunteer to have our heads examined and you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually ended up, we were all advised to if you had any incident at all, you are all advised to have your hair shaved off,
yeah.
And you had to go and get treated with some hospital, clinic, or something like that to get rid of them. Unfortunately, there were a couple of people in there of African descent who had these thick hair styles and so on, who refused to have their hair done, even though they had punk insects, and they politely asked them to leave.
So you see, the problem with those things, and I'll tell you this, and sir, the problem with those things is just what you've just highlighted. Too many times when you have these outbreaks, people pick on a certain demographic. You talk about people with thick hair, you talk about people of African descent. In Trinidad and Tobago, some years, people used to point at the East Indian population and complain about their hair, especially Hindu girls who weren't allowed to cut their hair and used to have hair all down by their ankles. The problem with using demographics for hygiene purposes is counterproductive. If you have an outbreak, you treat the outbreak without narrowing it down to demographics and color and race. That's the problem with how we treat issues. It's the same thing I said to the guy about sitting next to someone and you being affected by the dust or the carpet and the other person next to you is not. You like cleaners or you like scents and sprays and it affects the other person's health. We are all different. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. And I'm Dennis Johnson, your host, and taking care of things technical, John Stout. Good afternoon.
Top of the day to you.
Yes, sir.
I learned today of the passing of Margaret Ashby, who was the top person at the post office.
Mm-hmm. Postmaster General, yeah.
Yes. My late wife, Suzette Gibbs Tate, would have worked with her, and I've never heard her say a bad word against this lady. And it's in this context that I would like to offer my condolences to her family, friends, and indeed workers at the post office. May she rest in peace.
We'd like to join you in that, sir. She has participated in programs we've had with the post office, as well as Ms. Joanne Busby and others who have joined us from time to time. And they've always been, I think, very supportive, and they had good things to say about her. And they seemed to be a team of people who worked very well together. I think the work of our Postmaster General and our post workers over a period of time, sometimes we grow accustomed to these things and don't pay attention to some of the challenges and how they've adapted over a period of time to what is a changing industry with the use of electronic means of communication. The post office had to sort of reinvent itself, and those who work there, of course, and who have worked with her, we extend our condolences to them and to her family as well. And thank you for sharing that with us, sir. The WhatsApp message says, good afternoon, Dennis. Some of the points the Minister of Tourism raised in his press conference concerned me. He spoke of the money we are losing out from cruise ship passengers. I'm all for improving our services and offerings, but I'm not for increasing our ability to accommodate more cruise ship passengers. What we gain has to be balanced by the cost in terms of stress on our environment, in terms of expensive expansion, sea pollution, congestion on our roads created by transporting them, not to mention air pollution. Many cities in Europe, Barcelona, Venice, are trying to get rid of cruise passengers because of these and other downsides. Barbados always makes the mistake of trying to grab every penny going instead of placing more emphasis on making what we offer superior. Spend the money on improving our product, creating better customer experience, and doing something about our polluted seas, eroded beaches, and degraded social conduct, and the limited passengers that come by cruise ships will spend more and will bring in more money by returning for longer stays. Well, the only thing I can add is that transferring crews into long-stay visitors has always been a challenge. And sometimes the cruise experience at the port is either viewed against the cruise experience on the seas. So therefore, you know, you're competing with a ship sometimes and the expectations of the passengers. Sometimes people who cruise are not necessarily people who want to stay on land. Cruising is something they enjoy. So your points are well made. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dennis.
Yes, sir.
You go a lot of energy here?
Well, it's what I do for a living. I don't do anything else.
You pulled me out because you're the only boy that has remembered anything I said.
Well, sir, because most of the times I think what you say makes sense. And that maybe some people don't understand that, but I do.
I don't come on this program to criticize, just try to come to with good ideas. And I remember talking about the boardwalk, lighting up Bridgetown, Marina.
How difficult it is to sail in on a ship and see just closed up warehouses.
We got a real nice harbor there that wanted, hungry for some nightclubs and bars.
And you always mention that we forget that cruise ships have crew, and the crew are just important as the passengers on the ship.
1,100 people, they call 1,100 men on a tourist boat is a crew. And them is the ones that is really spending money because they can't go aboard the boat and spend money aboard the boat. They can't mingle with the guests.
I know.
They're going to stay down the bottom of the boat.
And play cards.
But when they come in port, the crew members is the ones you see in the boatyard and the harbor lights. Them is the ones you see in there. It don't be the passengers. All the passengers got privilege that they play a casino all day aboard the boat. Anytime. But I mean, we got such a nice little feeling harbor there. We surrounded with a lot of furniture factories and all kind of. Imagine Carlisle Bay, they were the Jolly Roger and the Harbor Masters dock up. Down there, they take that turn at Car Park. You're taking nice
beachfront.
Land, seafront land, and turn it into Car Park.
The cars like the seawater, apparently. And seawater ain't good for cars.
We just overdoing it. I remember when the Broad Street had Bar the Ram.
Yeah.
Frank Fish Club. The Oasis. The Talk of the Town. Hong Kong restaurant. I had Civil Sop right in the middle, right there, so next door to Cave Shepherd. Heard up, you had Dougie's and Jeff's. Bridgetown was alive. Then we turn into Lord Gardens and Botanical Gardens. A man left home and pay all the money to see the world. He wants in the gardens. You got some of the prettiest gardens you could see in England when you go down through into the countryside. Somebody won't come here to see a garden. And they told them the mistake they make when they put the bus stand down Fonty Bell. That is where court should be. I extend the bus stand out there and keep Bridgetown alive. Because by the time they move that bus stand from there, it kill off Bridgetown. Because people had a lot of vendors in the area.
Yeah.
By the time you left Harrison and Cape Shepherd coming down the road, the Plantation Limited and Robert Tom, you had vendors all around there. People could go to church at night and feel safe getting in, coming to the church and going into the bus. But then old people now ain't coming to church now at night. Because they're going to walk no far, they better catch a bus. I don't understand.
They
like to listen to people like Mr. Muzambuzi, you see?
You need the name poor Mr. Muzambuzi. Listen, let me ask you this, though. From a practical standpoint, okay, when you look at the layout of the city, and you just talk about several things that we've done over the course of time that I think has killed the city. And I agree with you about putting a car park by the beach. I don't get it. But when you look at some of the things we can still do, I remember saying this, I think it was you were having this conversation, right? Because I remember when I looked at the old jetty opposite the Roman Catholic Cathedral, the opposite German Slade, where they used to have the old jetty there that fell apart that we licked down, okay?
Yeah.
When I looked at that, because there's a lady that I used to sweet talk at the time, and we used to walk from there and walk up the beach to where she used to work, okay? Now, we prefer to walk on the beach rather than on Bay Street. I like the sea. But when I looked at Hilton Jetty, that mashup now, and that jetty opposite Gemma's Lane, the mashup now, I saw Carlisle Bay as having three jetties at least. And I talked about using the same, when Guyana had owed us how much millions of dollars in the failed CARICOM multilateral clearance facility, I tell them, get lumber out of Guyana because Greenheart could take the water, build the jetty properly, put some nice lights on it. So them yachts, they used to come in over the Christmas period, and them ladies used to complain about it too, go roll up their pants and their dress to come to dinner, to come to show, in, rather than coming on a jetty where the lady could put on her nice shoes and she's stockings and thing and come and eat dinner. She got to come in a dinghy and walk through the water and walk through the sand to go and have, you know, a hamburger or something. That's because they're being on the sea. These people come from Australia and all kind of places to come here in the warmth over the winter. And we throw them outside us so as though we don't want them. You go to Sailing Week in Antigua, you see people there. I mean, Nelson Dockyard ram off with people from all over the world. And they're doctors and lawyers and big shop people with money to spend, you know, because a yacht ain't cheap. But we're talking about all those yachties. But we want big people, big money. And now Carlisle Bay have no yachts. And we tear down the jetties. These are opportunities that we lost. And now we're talking about turning the old burnt out buildings opposite the cathedral into hotels. But we had it and we lost it. Look, are we going to get back now?
We got the...
We got Port St. Charles and Port Ferdinand.
Wait, name of the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people used to dive off of that and play, yeah.
That should be a top-class restaurant and bar.
And bar, sir, and drinking. I keep telling people, you don't want to have no... They have what? The honeymoon suite. You think you want honeymoon over a kitchen?
People is mad. People in Barbados mad. They just don't understand what tourism is about. We got all the potential around this country here to do things. But no, we take a place like Carlisle Bay Center, Carlisle Bay. We are called Carlisle House.
Yeah.
And you got a furniture place up top, and at night it closed down. Dark. Bridgetown, dark. The only country in the world that don't have a cinema
in
the city is Bridge Barbados.
Yeah, I told. I
the only country in the whole world that don't have a cinema in the city is Barbados. And we had the Olympic, we had the Empire, we had the Plaza.
We had the globe,
and now we don't have nothing to keep people in Bridgetown.
Car parks.
And you can even use them as an advantage if they really want to use car parks. But all the activities they got on Kevin's Lane, and then the place they got there on the beach, they should be paying young people to work or rent it out. The government can rent it out if the government don't want to run it, and charge $10 for the proper lighting and give some security guards some work. Making sure cars don't get
carried away. So
instead of keeping the car park, they shut down all night. I mean, I don't understand. I stopped because I give a lot of ideas. And I went in the Prime Minister's office and said, don't begging for a job, we never get it. I give ideas and they never get nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
Sir, I have heard you on these programs putting forward ideas over and over, and as you say, I've listened to them, I've heard them, and some of them make plenty sense to me. That's why I repeat them when I get the chance. Sometimes we listen to the wrong people, or we, as you say, put down... somebody say Guyana doesn't have a cinema in the city either, but I've heard from people who've worked there that they have a thriving cultural activities. They have plays, and a Bajan gentleman who works in Guyana sent a whole list of things that they do culturally that we don't do. What I was saying though, sir, one of the things that was said to me by a gentleman just a couple days ago, he said, he calls it Miami Beach, Enterprise Beach. So asked why we don't light that beach in the night, you know, put lights in the trees, lights around there, and have a 24-hour, 7-day a week beach where people could go and sit on evenings. Why do people have to leave the beach at 6 o'clock? Why they can't go there, you know, sit down, have a meal. If they want to swim after 9 o'clock in the night, you know, you may. if you just want to enjoy the ambiance. He says it's a bay, it's closed, it's enclosed. I suppose it's an idea. We have to look for ways to earn money. Earn money. And when you have complaints on the back page of the newspaper today that thieves hit Dover, where people close up their stalls at night, but at the same time, the front page talks about 7,000 crop over visitors using Airbnb. Someone sent a WhatsApp message saying that we talk about a drop in foreign reserves. Maybe we're not measuring the right thing. We're still using old matrix to measure foreign exchange. We're using hotels as opposed to appreciating the work done by private people bringing visitors to the island. A shift in how the money comes into the island and how it circulates. The former governor of the central bank did admit that we don't have a handle on tourist spend in Barbados. The other comment that was made online that I wanted to mention was the behavior that the person was talking about taxis in the Bridgetown port. I talked to some taxi drivers who operate Bridgetown port, and they tell me that they don't own some of the taxis on the port, that they lease the operations just as LZR drivers. So one owner may have 7 or 8 taxis or 6 or 7 taxis there just being run by different people. So they hustle just like ZR drivers. These types of changes in how we operate, how business is operated, and how people earn their living must be taken into consideration when we talk about improving our product.